Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there? I want to talk about this endlessly with you. Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there? I want to talk about this endlessly with you. Everybody, and welcome back to the Masked Singer Wrap Up Podcast. We're here today to talk about season 9, episode 3, aka New York City Night. We did get the specification that it is about the city of New York, so here we are to talk about it all. I am, of course, your host, Puya, the remote Zan Bikili, and with me, as always, is the lovely Liana, the controller, Boris. Liana, how are you doing?
I am doing well. I had a fun time with New York Night, although I am kicking myself over our draft. Oh, I can't believe I let the sushi roll go or the California roll go. Yeah, I'm just so upset.
Why? Why is that? Why are you upset?
Because they're really good. I think they could win.
Oh, you easy. Didn't draft them.
Oh, I didn't.
Where did they end up landing, Liana?
Okay, you know what? Yeah, okay. They're on your team. Is that what you want me to say? They're on your team.
They're not only on my team. They were the last pick in the draft. I didn't even get to pick them. You gave them to me.
I know. That's why I said I'm kicking myself, because for the first time, I think we have a team. I don't know what you want to call it. A group that I think could win the Masked Singer and slipped through my little fingies.
Yeah. Welcome to Team Puya California Roll. Enjoy your stay and please take me to the top, because I also feel very good about their odds of being the first ones to do it. There's a good chance.
Yeah, well, we'll get into all of that and why we feel that way in going through the episode. But it's all I can think about since I watched the episode.
I do love hearing that. Anytime that I feel like I've got the leg up, feels pretty nice to hear it. So, especially when I don't prompt it. So we'll take it. We'll take it where we can. Now, Liana, show opens up. Robin is singing, doing a good job. Nick Cannon's bowler hat. What were your thoughts on Nick Cannon's Charlie Chaplin-esque hat that he wore?
Yeah, that was a choice. Is it like New York, like a New York thing that I just didn't get?
I don't know. Is Charlie Chaplin from New York?
I don't know that. He didn't have the mustache.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're doing too much trying to think of whether or not this had anything to do with Charlie Chaplin. Although, actually, there's a movie called A King in New York from 1957 that is directed by and starring Charlie Chaplin.
Ah, okay. So yeah, maybe that was the reference. Oh,
it was his last leading role.
That reminds me, one correction for last week. So do you remember how we were like confused about why certain people were brought out for the ABBA episode?
Yes.
Okay. So Crystal reached out to me on Twitter and said that Shangela is a dancing queen. So that explains Shangela. We had talked about how Napoleon was for Waterloo. And then for Nick from The Bachelor, we weren't sure, but I said maybe A Man After Midnight, like give me A Man After Midnight. So, but I think they were all supposed to be themed. It's just, if that's the correct one, I definitely think Shangela, the dancing queen, she's on Dancing with Stars, she's a drag queen. And then the Napoleon one, I think those two are spot on. I just don't know about the Nick Bial one from The Bachelor. But this episode confirmed it, because all of the guests that they brought out were definitely New York City themed.
Yeah, definitely familiar with the works of Pizza Rat, who makes an appearance as one of the guests.
Yeah, exactly. As we all are.
All right. So then let's just hop right in and talk about the show. Liana, I have some honesty I want to put on the podcast before we kick it off. I've been very, very high on the season and positive on the season with promoting it on other podcasts that I have been making appearances on.
This episode was probably my least favorite of the three so far.
Okay, and why do you feel that way?
I feel like the season started strong. I feel like some of the decisions they're making in particular didn't give me the enjoyment I wanted out of this episode. Let me explain why. Because the first thing that they did that I didn't love was we opened up with Medusa again. I understand that Medusa's the reigning queen here and is the, therefore the one that's going to, you know, be defending the title. I don't love that you're making Medusa go first, especially because Medusa has pretty much been A, winning, which means when the other two come on, you're a little bit more skeptical on it. B, in an episode where the ding dong keep it on bell is guaranteed to be used because they haven't used it in the first two episodes, you knew most likely that no matter who comes out, they're not going to be all three great singers tonight, that Medusa's staying. So I didn't love that we started with the more familiar one, especially when the clue package is all the same old clues repackaged and put back out with the addition of one new clue.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had this issue previously with especially the clues in particular, where the clues essentially are just like rehashing for the person that stays. And so we don't actually get a ton of new clues, if any. One thing that I will say that they did in last season was that they put the harp. So at least for the harp that I'm checking right now, I didn't go back and look at the other rounds, but for the harp who felt like, she's going to continue to win, she's an all-star, they always put her last. And I liked that. I mean, apart from the very first episode, I believe she was the first performer, but that we were meeting her for the first time. The other two episodes where she was challenging or being challenged for her crown, she was performing in the last spot. And I do think now, after seeing three rounds of having Medusa perform first when she's being challenged, I agree with you. I think the correct decision is to have the person who is the king of the hill or queen of the hill, they should go last.
Yeah, I'm not bothered by it because I feel like we can predict that, okay, one person's going to be good enough to make it to the Battle Royale. One person's going to kind of be in the fodder spot of you're not good, but you're the third person on the show. And I feel like you're not taking it away from us you're not taking away the suspense if Medusa goes last, right? Because one comes on, you're like, oh my God, they're pretty good. They could do something. And one comes, you're like, all right, you're not going to be as good. And that's going to happen regardless. So I would like to open the show with a bit of mystery. And I think that's what it's like, because to get the first mystery 15, 20 minutes into the show is probably not my top choice.
Mm-hmm. I think also the tough thing with the ding dong, keep it on bell is because they told us that there was going to be a episode where three people would be battling to get back in. We know that they have to use it three times. And I think they said once per round. So at this point, you kind of know it's going to be used. There's only three performers, so there's really only one person who's not going to be moving on. So I think that was also really tough, but I don't know how do you deal with that with this kind of mechanic? Like, is it you can use it three times regardless of when in the round, like, you know, like not one per round necessarily, but like you can just use it three times. It could come at any time. But then I guess if you like save them up, you know, the last ones are going to be used, but at least you wouldn't know. Cause my concern is that for the next rounds, like, are they just going to always wait until the last go round and then use it on the last episode?
I hope not, because that makes it, and that's the other reason why this was my least favorite of the three episodes, is that it lends it to become very predictable for episode three. Because while I'm happy with the person that ends up getting ding dong saved, I do feel like saving it for the last episode each time will make the last episode of the batch, which is supposed to be the, oh my God, it's like the pre-finale episode for this group, really not matter as much and kind of be very predictable, which I'm not a fan of.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I'm as down. I think the biggest thing that I would agree on is just swapping the order. The thing I'm more bent up about is the fact that the freaking... Okay, well, maybe I'll save this until later. I'll save my outrage for later.
All right, I can't wait to see what the outrage is about. So Medusa's clue package, essentially the exact same. We got the Buckingham Palace clue. We got the Chris Martin. All of that was in the package once more. with the addition of a Scottish Terrier. That mm-hmm. was the clue. That was the one big clue. They had the Scottish Terrier dog as a clue, which, again, if I'm going to believe that this is Fergie, Fergie's name, last name is Ferguson. Ferguson is a name of Scottish origin.
Mm. Okay, so I had a little bit of time today because I was taking these like hour-long videos. So I watched the episode and I did a little bit of digging because when okay. Robin said the thing about, like, he reminded me, this is a clue that we've heard before, but when he reminded me of the fact that she's been on the show in some other capacity, obviously not going to be a guest judge. I don't think they're going to have a guest judge. So it has to be someone whose song, and that was the angle he was taking as well in order to, I think, say Kesha maybe was his guest yes. there, was that it was someone whose song has been performed on the show before. So I went to Wikipedia and I scrolled through each season and I looked to see what songs have been performed because they have the list of every song that's been performed.
Oh my God. You had that much time?
It takes like two. Okay. First of all, it took me maybe 10 minutes to do the whole thing because the good news is there's like a lot of people that you can immediately rule out, right? Because it's most likely a woman's voice. One person, and obviously it's somebody who is probably younger and also is alive, so that was helpful. So there were people like, you're gonna immediately rule out like Ricky Martin, Portugal the Man. This definitely isn't Gloria Gaynor. It's not Sia. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could very quickly sort of go through the list and came up with some potential options for names. So I was looking at people sort of like in the Rachel Platten, Sarah Bareilles, Andra Day, like kind of category. And I came across a name, Bishop Briggs. First of all, I was like, okay, because I was just opening their Wikipedia pages as I like came across them and then started going back through and started sort of screening based on like big picture clues. So first of all, Bishop Briggs, let me tell you about her. She's the woman who did the song, you know, The River? That song?
Something like a river.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yes, that song. Okay, so she did that song. And like, that's her like biggest single. So she was born in the UK, first of all, which is a clue that we've seen. Her name is Bishop, which we've seen the chess pieces, the bishop and the knight, the horse. Mm-hmm. So her first big album was, I think, Wild Horses or something like that.
Okay.
Let me check real quick.
Are you trying to reference that to be the knight piece?
Yes. Her first single was Wild Horses. So Bishop and Horses. At the age of 4, she moved to Tokyo with her family. Her parents are Scottish, which fits with the Scottish Terrier. And what else did I fit? I think that's it. But I also, then once I like noticed a bunch of these clues sort of matching up, I went to go listen to her voice. There's some, oh, she performed at Coachella was another one. And I think this could be her.
But Fergie's last name is Ferguson.
Yeah, no. I hear that. And okay, I think that's also a great idea. But if I were to bet, I don't hear Fergie.
No, permission to skip to the end of the episode real quick.
Yes, you may.
Okay, because when we had gone to the end of the episode, I would have told you why I do not think it's Fergie anymore. I wouldn't have known who it was. I couldn't offer you an alternative. But given the emotion that came out of Medusa when Medusa gets, spoiler alert, ding dong saved,
yeah,
I felt like, nah, Fergie is not at a place in her career where this is the biggest deal, right? So I was like, I don't think it's Fergie. I think it's someone who's still an incredible singer and artist, but probably not as active in the music scene as Fergie may have been.
Yes. And that's the thing is that I totally agree with that. And Bishop definitely, although she has had success, River peaked at 3. Obviously, you know the song. I know the song. But she hasn't really had a lot of success, it seems like, outside of that. So, I mean, she's had, I think,
well, she's only been active in her career for about 7 years now, going on 8 as
correct.
Well. Which yes. Fergie has been active in her career since 1984.
Yes, correct. So I do think this could be a fit. Now, I need to go back and check the other clues from previous episodes and see if there's anything else that I missed.
Well, there was a Chris Martin photo, and I'm looking at her wiki, and she was the opening act for Coldplay in 2016 on 9 of their tour dates.
Ah, okay. So that makes sense.
So that could
and
fit
then
there, too.
The other, so the clue, I think, at the end from the Real Housewives lady was Brooklyn Bridge, Briggs Bridge. Is that a thing?
That is the biggest reach of the episode so far from you.
Okay, maybe that's
like you've been
worse.
Cooking. You've been cooking, but take it off the heat now. You're going to burn it. Like,
oh, my
cooking.
God. I like accidentally dumped a bunch of salt in there. Yeah. Okay. So look, maybe that one doesn't exactly fit, but I do think that this could be her.
I could see it. I could definitely see it.
Cross-referencing from at least the list of performances that we've seen.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And what's it called? I think that's a pretty solid guess to move forward with. Outside of the song River, do not know Bishop Briggs at all.
Same.
So, you know, I think TikTok helped push that up for sure on the right. Charts.
Like, I have that song on my playlist, but I never would have known it was her song. Like, when I looked, I was like, oh, because the title is just River. And I was like, mm-hmm. Is it that song, River? And then I went and looked up. I was like, yeah, sure enough, it is. Okay. Thank you, TikTok. Yeah.
So, and then also, yeah, so the clue package, they had mentioned that they're going to do their dad's favorite karaoke song. They ended up going with Sinatra's New York, New York. Mm-hmm. It was a good ballad, but I think this was the weakest performance from Medusa in the 3 weeks that Medusa's been performing.
Yeah, I 100% agree. It was funny, like what Ken had said at the, I don't remember when, but at some part in the episode, he was like, you just sing with, you know, all your heart in it. It was like one of those compliments that they sometimes give people that maybe aren't like good singers, but they just like, they're clearly having a good time and they want to give them a compliment. I do kind of feel a little bit of that with this performance, mainly just because obviously it was still good, but we've just seen her be better. And I know that this was her own interpretation. All the focus was on her. They had the whole like orchestral imagery in the background.
The men in black and white doing violin in the background. Yeah,
exactly. But genuinely, it was just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine.
You went silent in a way that I thought you got disconnected. Yeah, it was just, it was fine. It was still good.
Fine.
Yeah. It's still Medusa. So.
It wasn't also like, I don't know. I don't think like her interpretation maybe really fit with the song, at least in my opinion. So I think that would be another critique, but I do think she's had stronger weeks. This is probably her weakest of the three.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was still great, still good. But if we're comparing you to yourself of your three,
right.
Least fan of this one, but that's not saying much, right? It's still good.
Yeah.
Then, like you said, Luann De Lesseps from Real Housewives of New York comes out with the Golden Gate Bridge or the Brooklyn Bridge, one of the bridges. And then they mentioned sometimes build a bridge to get over it. And in my head, I said, London Bridge.
Oh, Fergie. Look at you being nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So okay. I had that in the mind still. This is, again, before the end of the episode where I was like, all right, this isn't Fergie. Okay, cool.
Here's the thing, though. Fergie's a better guest than freaking Susan Boyle.
I mean, I'm nailing all the judges. Lord, you are not. Florence and the Machine, Florence, no. Kesha, no. So I think I'm closer than the judges, at least. I'll take that.
Yeah, okay. I agree.
Okay, so we can move on then to the polar bear next. When I saw, because I had gotten a tweet yesterday that said, I'm excited for Puya to see the episode and see that, ooh, maybe California Roll can do something. And I thought, cool. So I know I have one of my draft picks here. Exciting. But when I saw Polar Bear, my heart sank because I knew I was guaranteed to lose someone, which didn't feel great.
Yeah.
Here comes the Polar Bear, Liana. Okay. The Polar Bear's clue package. There was a scratch ticket. They talked about toasters, hair dryers, and like taking wires out to do something different with it. There was electricity coming out of the fingertips. There was a message in a bottle. And then they said they were here to honor a fellow New Yorker.
Yep, who changed the game just like them. So clearly this is someone who is like
a pioneer.
A big deal. Yeah, exactly. A pioneer. The lotto ticket, like the scratch, but specifically a scratch off lotto ticket, that mm-hmm. combined with essentially the fact that they had turntable imagery in it was like pretty obvious. And I mean, even the language that was used was like, oh, I had a knockout idea that helped them turn the tables on the entire music industry.
They did everything but say his name.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's exactly how it felt. I was like, okay, so this is an icon who pretty much invented like turntable DJing. Okay, got it. That combined with the clue we get later was like a dead giveaway.
Yeah. So here's my other qualm, if I may mm-hmm. provide many qualms, which just so the audience knows, I'm not out on the Masked Singer, right? I might be coming off a lot more salty than I have the last couple episodes, but here we go. So the performance that happens here, I was very upset with because what was the song that was used? Can you remind me?
It was Blondie, I think, Rapture.
Yeah, okay. So the polar bear comes out and is clearly not a singer, is not mm-hmm. doing a good job. This does not sound good at all. I felt like the dancers were breaking their backs to really make this a show. And then there was the pop and lock in Statue of Liberty, which I did enjoy. But there were moments in the middle of the song where the polar bear switches up to ad lib and is getting some crowd work. Get your hands up, get your hands mm-hmm. on. Everyone's like, that's like working. And my mm-hmm. whole time, I'm just sitting there thinking, why wouldn't they let the polar bear rap a song instead? Why couldn't the polar bear have rapped? Because I think the polar bear would have done fine to rap. Why did that not happen?
I didn't really like understand or even to have him do it like in that falsetto also felt like a choice. I don't know. I don't know how much creative design that the polar bear had in putting this whole set together, because it just felt like, what an odd decision for everything. Okay.
So, because, you know, you could do New York State of Mind by Nas, and that is a great mm-hmm. song, and that is a great rap. So you could have done that song, for example. I think, and we have seen rappers come on the show before, or we have seen rap performances rather on the show before that have made it through to the next round. I think they didn't want this to be a close call. Because I think the polar bear's energy would have transcended. I think the crowd work people would have gone ham for that. I think that would have been fun. And I feel like if you would let the polar bear do that, there's a potential that the Razzle Dazzle can take over on the voting here. And I think because they knew the Ding Dong Save It, Keep It On Bell was going to get used tonight, and they kind of knew who was going to be the recipient of it, they're like, yeah, we're not going to do that. Because to me, this feels like if the performer had the creative choice to pick, I just don't see where they do not pick a rap to do here. I just don't.
Yeah, I guess that's a could be one conspiracy theory. I mean, but only like if the polar bear had only agreed to do a one episode stint, because let's assume the California role moves on, right? And then the polar bear ends up getting ding donged, kept it on. And then the polar bear would have to come back for the battle episode. And maybe that's something that they didn't want to have to commit to. So they had to kind of tank it. I don't know. It feels like,
I don't know.
Especially once the polar bear got on mass, he just was like so happy to be there. I feel like maybe he just wanted to do something different.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it was fine. It happened. It was a formality. We had to get through it to get to the end of the episode. But yeah, within the first note, it was clear Polar Bear was our third place finisher of the episode. So,
well, yeah, I mean, we didn't know about the California role. I thought there was still a chance, but
see,
you never know. I thought maybe we're going to get like a seal situation,
but oh, I see. No, but seal sounded good.
Yeah, but Seal like threw his voice a lot. So I thought that's maybe what we were getting good. Where
you thought
like,
the Polar Bear was on the same level as the leopard.
No, did I say that?
That's what it sounded like.
That's what it sounded like. No, that's not what I said. What I said was that it was a I don't remember what I said, but what my intention was.
She had all this time today to do all this research. I couldn't get a text back. I don't even have her attention here.
I will show you the textual messages that I sent you. And by the way, I was texting you about this stuff while I was watching The Masked Singer, while you were confused about the plans. Anyway, whatever, not important. So what I was trying to say is that it could be a type thing. Like, it's not the same, but it's like a sort of style where like the goal is to sort of throw your voice so that you're not immediately recognizable, right? So it's like a style kind of thing. Exactly the same. Right. Because this is the problem that we had with Busta Rhymes. Like, Busta Rhymes showed up. It was obviously immediately Busta Rhymes. So maybe that could have been the intent. I don't know.
Really? I'm not sad enough. You got to bring up the dragon right now. Really?
Okay, just don't be sad that it's over. Be happy that it happened.
No, I want to be sad that it's over. Thank okay. you.
All right, fine.
I still can't believe that the dragon went home that night when there were other people on the board that could have gone. But it's fine.
It's fine.
Definitely not upset about it still.
Yeah, no, we're not.
Even though that was what? Okay, fun game. What season of the show was that?
4.
How do you know that?
Because I looked through everything today on the Wikipedia page.
Oh my God.
I think it was 4 at least.
It was season 4. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Nailed it.
Yeah. It was season 4. Just to remind people, that was the same episode where we had the sun, the giraffe, the popcorn, the dragon, and the snow owls. And the person who should have left, which was the giraffe, which was Bag, did not go. But Busta Rhymes had to go because apparently his track was too hot for everybody to handle.
Yeah, that was kind of a weird decision. I can't believe Brian Austin Green stuck around.
Bag.
All right.
Well, then Bag came through and didn't Bag judge The Masked Dancer the next season?
Yes, or at least show. Yeah, he was either the main judge or was
he? He was because it was him, Ashley Tisdale, I think. Anyway, your favoritism showing, Masked Singer. All right, let me get out of this before I get heated. Okay. Okay, so then Teresa Caputo, a.k.a. the Long Island Medium, came out? So
yeah.
Are you familiar with the Medium's work?
Yeah, so I am because she's been done as a Snatch Game character, actually.
Oh, before. A little Drag Race action. Okay. Yes,
so that's how I actually knew her first was because... There was because of Snatch Game. So then I was familiar with her because of that. I actually didn't know she was still like active doing stuff. So yeah, good for her.
Yeah. So the way she presented the clue for the polar bear was through a reading. And the Long Island Medium read that the polar bear gave a speech, an acceptance speech at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which then caused everyone to focus up on specifically the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, except for Ken, who went with Diddy. But then DJ Jazzy Jeff was Robin Thicke's guest. And again, mm-hmm. let's get DJ Jazzy Jeff on the show, please. One time. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. Who said Grandmaster Flash here? One of them did.
Yes.
Was it Nicole? I want to say it was Nicole.
Nicole. Yeah. Nicole. It was Nicole.
So those were the guesses there. Let's take a quick break, Liana. When we get back, we can talk about and dissect everything there is to know about California Roll. All right. Welcome to my winner's coronation portion of the podcast where we talk about California Roll. Wow, Liana. So first of all, did we discuss California Roll being a multiple performer in costume or no? Because we really should have seen it coming.
I know. We really should have seen it coming. Why do I feel like we had a conversation about it could be multiple pieces?
I think we joked about it. I think, you know what? That kind of sounds familiar. I think what could have happened is you mentioned that, but you said, I'm still not picking them. I think that's what happened.
I thought they were going to be freaking Kermit the Frog again or something. Like, the picture that we saw, first of all, wasn't even an actual picture of the costume. It was like from the Super Bowl promo. And so it was like far away and it was blurry. And all you could
see, it looked the same.
No, okay. All you couldn't see the legs. Okay. And that was key for me because all I could see was the circle. So I thought what was going to happen is they were going to like roll Ed out on a plate. And it was going to be I thought it was going to be like the sushi roll on a plate. Okay. And it was like a tube and there would be like something inside of it. like a Kermit the Frog, like it's Miss Piggy at this time or something like that. Like that was what my brain had decided the sushi roll was going to be. I did not expect it to be individual sushi roll slices, which I'm so obsessed with. They're all so cute. I love that they all have their own little personalities and their little costumes. It's so fun.
I agree. I'm very happy that I had the forethought to pick them. So I reap all the benefits. Yeah. So they come out. First of all, my one complaint about the sushi roll. They should be named the sushi roll, not the California roll, because as a sushi connoisseur, none of them seemed California roll to me. And they're all different rolls. They're not the same. They're not all like cut from the same roll, if you know what I mean. So,
yeah, I agree. They should have just been the sushi rolls.
Pluralize. Just call it roll. I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Sushi roll. Ooh, let me see that sushi roll. Like that song, Tootsie Roll, but sushi roll.
Well done. Nice. You did a great job. Outstanding.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that, you know, my one complaint is that. Now, Liana, shall we get to the clue package? Because a lot was going on all over the map here.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. I tried to write down as much as I could. So you're going to have to help me here.
Oh God. Yeah. You kick it off then. You kick it off.
Okay. So it was like, at first it was just one of them talking and then it started cutting to like a bunch of other ones, which I don't know if I assume those clues apply to like each one of them individually. So
I believe
example,
so.
Okay. So like one of them said that they had been on Broadway. One of them said they had a degree from an Ivy League college. One of them never sleeps from being a DJ all night. There was the caricature and there was a tiger there. There was a reference to Snoop Dogg and Dolly Parton. One of them got married. There was a map with treasure marked on the map. And then there were a bunch of other things I wrote down, but these could just be like general sushi things. Like I saw spicy mayo cones. Cool shades and soy sauce.
Yeah, I think they're all linked specifically to the one person. So each of them when they were speaking, it's about them. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah, because yes. That would make more sense because if all of them were all DJs, they were all on Broadway and they were all from Ivy League schools, that would actually be very impressive that all of them managed to do all of those things.
Yeah, together.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, right? So they give the clue package. I'm writing these down. Nothing is really speaking to me because it's all over the map. Mm-hmm. Then they perform. Mm-hmm. And they do their rendition of Paparazzi by Lady Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
Socks blown right off. Okay. Yeah. And this is the biggest cheat code is when you have multiple people as a costume because mm-hmm. they can harmonize. They can set each other up really well. We had this last year with the Lambs. And I feel like we have it here too. Only the difference here is this is way better. No offense to the Lambs.
Ouch.
No offense to the Lambs. Okay. Uh-huh. So I want to tell you what my guess is, but okay. I didn't land on my guess until after the Battle Royale.
Okay.
So would you like for me to talk about it here or talk about it at the end after the Battle Royale?
No, here is fine.
Okay. So they do their own rendition, unique rendition of Paparazzi. I thought it was brilliant. It was great. Mm-hmm. Then the pizza rat delivers this clue and the clue says 5 billion on it. Mm-hmm. And my thoughts were this could go one of two ways. Either it is 5 billion streams a la, you know, Spotify, Apple Music, whatever music, right? Or it's 5 billion views. And there's only mm-hmm. one place that I can relate views to. Whereas with streams, you can look at Spotify, Apple Music, again, all these things. Views is YouTube to me. Okay. And this might just be because I'm a YouTube guy. Okay. We'll put that aside for a second. Then when the battle royale was about to happen, after Medusa goes, because Medusa as the defending champion goes first. In my head, I thought, if this performance is also a unique rendition of the same song, it's their own rendition. I have a pretty decent guess for who it is. And I'm sure if we dive into the members of this group, we can probably figure out if it's them or not. But I just haven't gotten that far. I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. I think Jenny already named them. I think it's Pentatonix. Yeah. I think it's Pentatonix. I thought that Scott from Pentatonix was on the show, I think last season or the season before. I did predict Scott to be one, which wasn't true. This time, I feel good about it. Now, if you don't know who Pentatonix is, Pentatonix are an a cappella group from Texas. They found their fame through YouTube, through doing covers, through doing a cappella renditions of songs. And that's their bread and butter. And that's what they did over here.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I think as soon as Jen, so I was thinking it could be, I was like, I thought it was going to be. So first of all, okay. Oh my gosh. Sorry. Let me collect my thoughts. A 5-person group. That's a lot of people, right?
So is that the most we've had in a group so far? Because I think up to now we've had 3 as the max.
Yes, that's correct. Mm-hmm. I think 3 is the max that we've had because Hanson was 3. The Lambs was, oh wait.
The Brady Bunch were 3.
The Mummies were 3.
Yeah, that's the Brady Bunch.
Who's the other group though that I'm thinking of?
The Lambs.
They were, no, not the Lambs.
They were 3. It was the
something.
Yeah. It was the group. What was the group called? Damn.
I literally just went through them today.
They were also 3.
Okay. They were also 3 because I think there was a question, right, about whether or not there was actually 2 more of them or not.
Serpents. Were they the serpents? There was some kind of snake thing. Anyway, Queen Cobra, it doesn't matter. But yeah, we've never had more than 3 for a group before.
Right. So the benefit of that is that it also helps to narrow down potential options for people. So I started thinking of those groups that sort of all started around the same time of like 2010-ish. So Pentatonix was one, like Walk Off the Earth was another one. So groups that like had sort of gotten their fame, that weren't in the height of their fame, but had gotten, especially because I thought the exact same thing about the YouTube thing. I was like, this is 100% social media views. And so so going from that angle, that's what I was thinking. Then when Jenny said Pentatonix, I was like, okay, she was right on the money about Grandmaster Flash. Let me like look and see quickly if some of these things start to line up. So Kristen from Pentatonix, she was on Broadway, and I believe she was the one who said that she's been on Broadway. She was in Kinky Boots. And Kevin went to Yale. So he was the one who went to the Ivy League education one.
Yale! Like yeah. Sale, but Yale.
Exactly. Do. And I think I just assumed one of them was probably a DJ at some point. So I genuinely think that this is right. And if this is right, this is why I was so freaking mad. This is the real reason. Yes, of course, flip the order, blah, 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 whatever. One episode. You had me watch them for one episode. That means I don't even get them in the battle back. I get them for 3 episodes. Max.
No.
Correct?
No, because what we found out at the end of the episode is that the California Roll wins the whole night, right? Spoiler correct. Alert. They were told by Nick, you have made it to the quarterfinals. So
I heard semifinals.
No, quarter. So what's going to happen now is that we're going to have the wild card night, which is going to be the 3 wild cards battling it out. Whoever wins that makes it to the quarter. And then the top 4 go to top 3, which is the semifinals. Then the top 2, which is the finals. So they'll be there 4 times.
I know, but it could have been 6. So,
okay, well, the good thing is if it is Pentatonix, there's a whole YouTube channel for you to enjoy.
I know that, but still.
And they do stuff like this all the time. So they'll do different songs that you may have not thought about hearing.
still. It's on the Masked Singer and they're in little sushi outfits and it's so cute. Fine. I mean, I get it, I guess. But whatever. I was meant
for. Ooh, they received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in February this year.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah, for that.
Good for them.
Okay, well, do you have more to say about them?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I guess I'll just say about the performance because obviously I'm very high on them. I was like, okay, they have to move on. I mean, I'm sure they're going to move on. They're so good. I mean, clearly an ensemble. The harmonizing was good. The whole staging, actually, the whole thing was really good with the cinematography, the way that they worked with the five people on the stage. They clearly put a lot of time and energy into this, or at least that's how it looked, even if they didn't. So I really just overall enjoyed the whole thing. And of course, always love me some Gaga. So that was great.
Yeah, no, very fun performance, top to bottom. I still don't think it's the best outfit. I don't, you know, California Rolls not in the top tier of outfits for the season, but when you have five of them, then it works. It makes sense. It adds up. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. No, this was great. I think there's going to be a tough time for any opponents to usurp them. I really do. I really, really do. Because again, this is a group of five who are built on a cappella and harmonizing. And if they continue doing this, who's going to be able to take them down?
I know. And we're due for a group win. I've been saying this. We are due for a group win. And if there's one group who I think can genuinely take this home, I do think it's them. So I just, with seeing only barely one third of the show, I think it's theirs to lose.
So are you going to just give me the congratulations now or are we waiting to the finale?
I mean, I'll give you the congratulations now on letting me be an idiot, but yeah, it's fine.
You're not an idiot. You're just an idiot. You're just, you have bad taste.
I do. I have really bad taste.
You picked the creepy doll over the California Roll.
I thought it would be like a log. I thought it would be a roll on a plate. And
you thought someone was going to perform on their backs is what you're telling me.
I don't know. Like Jabba the Hutt, I guess. the log and they would like roll out. I don't know. Look, we had freaking, oh my God. Who was the guy in the slug?
Kermit the Frog.
Was that Kermit the Frog? It was in the slug?
The snail. Snail? Who was a snail?
Oh, baby alien is who. Yes. Kermit the Frog was the snail, but I was thinking of baby alien.
That was the football player.
Yeah, that was Mark Sanchez as the baby alien. Yeah. Look, I thought it was going to be something like that.
No, and they've got good razzle dazzle. Like, you know, it's a very limiting outfit. It's circular and they're, you know, everything but their legs is in the circle, but they're still able to move around despite the circumference of the circle being pretty wide. So kudos to them. If they can do razzle dazzle and harmony and have four people to back them up anytime one of them is singing, it might be curtains for everybody involved. But let's move on to the closer to the end of this episode. So they make it through, blah, blah, blah. Polar Bear is out. Okay. The guesses were as follows. Flava Flav from Jenny, LL Cool J from Robin, Grandmaster Flash from Nicole, P. Diddy from Ken, and Nicole gets it right. It is Grandmaster Flash. And then to end the night, because you know how you do like, all right, singing us out, blah, blah, blah. They wheeled out an entire DJ set for Grandmaster Flash. And we got to watch Grandmaster Flash on the ones and twos for like a good 2 minutes before they wheeled them out.
That was so cool. That was so cool. One of the things I'm really happy about is that they've let people sing essentially their own song, or maybe they just get to choose. I don't know. But this I did not expect. And so I'm very happy that they let him do it. Also, he was just laughing, enjoying the show, having a great time. I always love it when you see like a little tiny human head inside a big costume. It always just looks so cute. So that was also appreciated. I think it added to just the overall like cute, fun vibe of the whole situation. And then to have a legend like this come in and perform. I mean, Nicole was freaking out. I was freaking out. It was just overall a really good time. Although, yeah, I mean, it was very obviously Grandmaster Flash. I mean, one very quick Google search of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame turntables DJ immediately gets you Grandmaster Flash. So it wasn't like particularly hard to get, even if you weren't familiar. So yeah, it just very enjoyable. Only lasted one episode, but was a very fun episode.
Yeah, I thought it was good. You know, at the end of the day, yes, I lost the player, and I'm fine with that because Grandmaster Flash was fun to see. And I look forward to you not liking one of your picks in the future because there's someone we don't like. So at least I've got that going for me.
Yeah,
maybe
winner for sure.
Maybe that's what we do next season. Instead of picking the winner, you're trying to pick people that you like, that we like. And it's kind of like a minesweeper because you don't want to get, you know, the Rudy Giuliani of the bunch.
Like people that you, how do we measure that? Like that you would be
it's,
okay
it's
with having
it's subjective. It's definitely subjective for sure. Maybe not. Some cases might be open shut, but who knows? And listen, if I win this with the 16th pick overall being the last pick, we might have to figure out a new mechanic moving
seriously,
forward.
Maybe. Like what is this international survivor where we always pick the winner last?
Yeah. Leon and I do just 2-person drafts for a lot of the shows we watch. And we did back-to-back, I think, was it a Survivor South Africa season and a Survivor New Zealand season where the last pick in the draft won the whole thing. And I had both those players for those two seasons. So look at me.
Yeah, it's a trend. It's a trend alert.
So we get the Battle Royale, okay? They're going to sing Uptown Girl by Billy Joel, mm-hmm. and it's Medusa versus the California Roll. Medusa did better than the earlier in the night, I felt. But mm-hmm. still, California Roll dominated.
Yeah.
Dominated.
Yeah. 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 They're just so good. I mean, so what I had about Medusa is that obviously she has a really strong, unique voice. I think this was an improvement from her performance either or earlier. She performs with such emotion and it was so solid. Then the California Roll steps in and they're just easily the best group performers that we've had so far. I mean, I definitely think that they won this battle royale. And also the little costumes are just so cute when they're like jumping up and down. It reminds me of a little like animated video game moment. Mm-hmm. So that's also adds to the overall cuteness.
Okay. I have a new theory moving forward.
Okay.
If a costume is a group costume, but the graphic for it and the advertising for it, they don't show us all 3, 4, 5, how many people, then it's a good one to pick because I would say probably the strongest group we've had is outside since California Roll is the Hanson, which were the Russian nesting dolls, but only one of them was appearing until we saw the performance. So moving forward, it's better not to pick if you see 3 people. It's better to pick if they're one and then they end up being more.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay, it's kind of like when you, it's kind of like, you can order the frings off the menu, which is the fries and onion ring combination, or you order fries and then you have like a bonus onion ring and then you're very stoked for that. It's kind of similar to that mentality.
The frings.
Yeah. Have you never heard of that?
No.
You're American.
What's a fring?
It's fries and onion rings.
Is that a thing that you can get at places? You can be like,
there are places where you can get the frings, which is they'll just give you half onion ring, half fries. Yes.
That's cool.
I don't know about cool. I don't know if it's revolutionary.
We're living in the future. Amazing.
So speaking of the future, let's skip to it. California Roll beats Medusa. Medusa has finally been upset after 3 weeks of rain here. Here's my last issue about this episode, and which is why it's like my least favorite of the bunch so far. Medusa is out, right? Medusa lost, but they are guaranteed to use the Ding Dong Keep It On bell once per group. They have not used it yet. We know they're not going to be like, we're going to burn it now and just let 2 people fight in the wild card battle royale or whatever that episode's going to be. So you knew, we knew Medusa's going to get saved regardless here, but still they put us through the rigmarole of here's our final guesses. And then while everyone's chanting, take it off, they ding dong the bell.
Yes. I also looked at the runtime left in the episode and I was like, okay, they have to. I did for a brief second was thrown off that maybe just maybe they weren't going to do it because I thought for sure week one they were going to do it. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe week two they were going to do it. And I wouldn't have put it past them to somehow accidentally screw this up. So
see,
I what?
I not so much that I thought they were going to screw this up. I sat there and just thought, did I misunderstand the rules? Am I about to get on the podcast and be like, okay, so we were wrong about the mechanics here. This is actually how it's going to work. Because part of me felt like that's where we were headed. Part of me felt like that's what we were about to have. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Medusa has done well. I think also the fact that she's had a really strong track record in the previous two episodes. But I'm okay with this being the case. But yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah, ultimately it worked out. They're both there. So we like that. That's pretty chill. That's pretty cool. They're both still there. Big Yay's there. Hurrah.
Plus, I think especially seeing the way that she reacted emotionally, this clearly means a lot to her. And oh, and what she said about how after the Battle Royale, I knew the California role was better. And so I'm just so happy to be here. Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, it was a very emotional reaction from Medusa. Which made me feel like, yeah, Medusa's in this to win this. So I really hope Medusa brings out more stops moving forward. So we don't know which costumes are going to be on next week. But what we do know is the theme for next week. And next week is the fabled DC Superheroes Night, Liana.
Yes, we had discussed this about DC Superheroes Night. I'm curious to see what songs they're going to pick. I guess Superman is DC, so...
And they say that a hero can save us. Yeah. Yeah, anything with... Or Enrique, I can be your hero, baby.
Okay. Right? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of options for them to go with.
Name a third one. I can't think of another. There's two songs. We need at least one more to complete the theme, Liana. We need one more.
There's like another Superman song that I'm thinking of that like
Superman by Eminem.
Maybe.
No shot. They're going to put that on 8 p.m. for children to see that song. That is not a PG song.
Okay. Yeah, they're going to be fine. There's plenty. They could do Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, Robin Laid an Egg. That could be a song. That's DC Comics.
That's
right?
Not a real song.
How do you know it's not a real song? It's got music. There's lyrics and a melody, right?
You're telling me Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, Robin Laid an Egg, the Batmobile lost its wheel.
And the Joker got away.
That is, you are being ridiculous.
I think it makes sense. All right, who else are DC superheroes? Wonder Woman. Is there a Wonder Woman song? The Flash, Green Lantern, Aquaman, Green Arrow, Martian Manhunter.
We'll see what the themes mean. I feel like we know the dancers are going to be in DC outfits, probably.
Yeah.
But what does it mean? Is the guest host, is there going to be a guest host that's a DC person, maybe?
Yeah, I wonder who's going to come out and give the clues. Do you think they're going to be like
they're not gonna have
themed? Do you think they're going to get like Henry Cavill?
No, they're going to be dressed in Superman outfits. It's just going to be random. It's going to be the same child that did the Napoleon outfit coming out in Superman outfit. And then we're going to have someone dressed like the Joker doing the Joker dance. It's going to be that. That's going to be the energy.
Yeah, Catwoman's going to crawl out there. Just a woman in a Catwoman costume. Okay. Well, you know what? I'm here for it. So far, I've been having a lot of fun, and I'm actually more excited about DC Superheroes Night than I was for New York Night. So
wow.
I think this is hopefully going to be an improvement. But this is going to be more goofy. Like, New York is more straightforward. Like, ABBA Night is stupid and silly in, like, the best way possible, and I think DC Superheroes is closer to ABBA than it is to New York.
That's fair. Yeah, ultimately, all in all, so far, season's been strong. I've been enjoying myself. It's been great. I am looking forward to seeing what comes next with DC. I'm looking forward to a new crop of singers. I usually do enjoy when we get a new batch. So I'm excited to see the new batch kick it off next week. Should be a good time. But that brings us to the end of everything else to cover about episode 3, Liana. So let the people know, where can they find you? What else do you have going on?
We did it. Yes. So what other stuff do I have going on? Well, Survivor just started and we had a, I don't even know what to call it, but we had a premiere of Survivor 44 and Mike Bloom and I are going to talk about it on the B&B. We have special guest Kevin Jacobs of BB Can fame to help us analyze everything and all of the wackadoo-ness that we saw from the season premiere. We're going to be doing a really fun Choose Your Own Owen adventure because I didn't get to use Choose Your Own Adventure last season. So I'm going to name it that for this season. And then also Drag Race is going on as well. So season 15, chugging along. Beth, Amon, and I are still covering the season, of course, bring you week to week content for that. So check that out on the Drag Race feed or the Reality TV or Hap Ups feed.
Lovely. Thank you, Liana. Killer as always.
Thank you.
No problem. You got it. From champ to contender.
Wow. Good job. I did a good job. And you can follow me on Twitter, @LianaRJP.
There we go. And you can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. Got a busy sketch coming up on the stream side of things. Definitely check me out over there. And as far as podcasts go, I just did 90 Day Fiance The Other Way, season 4, episode 4 with Jenny Autumn. We had a good time there. Definitely check that out. Liana and I both participated in said Survivor 44 season's draft with the podcasters on Monday this week. So that's available in case you've watched the episode and are curious who's on whose team. We are both safe from the grenade. Yay. We'll take that.
Ooh.
And then upcoming, I just talked about the BB Can 11 cast, first impressions when the cast dropped with Taryn Armstrong. That is available for you to check out now. We've got the draft upcoming for that season on Tuesday at 8 p.m. That's Tuesday, March 7th at 8 p.m. So if you find us over there doing that. And I also, it's been draft season out here, folks, if you can't tell already. But I did do a draft for the upcoming challenge season over on the Dom and Colin Network with Brian Scally, Matt Ligori, Haley Strong, and myself. It was fun. We had a good time. That season, I believe, also drops March 8th. March is a busy month for TV as far as reality TV goes. And then last but certainly not least, myself and Chappelle co-host the Bel Air podcast over on Post Show Recaps, talking all things Bel Air. Episode 2 just dropped, but we haven't recorded the podcast yet. So when we do, definitely check that out. And last but not least, if you would like to leave a rating and review for this podcast, please go over to robswebsite.com/MaskedSinger. That's MaskedSinger. We hope you had fun with us today. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back with you next week to talk all things DC Superhero Night. But until then, you are a hero. We are not heroes. Bye, everyone.
Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there? I want to talk about this and this with you. Who's under there?